Guys, let's get started. Welcome to Cowboy Church. I know this is, a little bit different, but you know what? We're going to get through it. The neat thing about this is we're not stopping church. But obviously this morning, lots of reports that the roads are a sheet of ice on them. It's just it's a tough deal. So I don't want people having to drive in it feeling like they're going to church. And then it being too dangerous, so we'll have church here. The only reason that I would never stop church is if the government told me that we can't have church. And obviously, that's not going to happen here. We're going to have church no matter what. But on days like this, when the roads from all directions, matter of fact, I had several people that, are in our van that just can't get there. And so it would have been a little rough trying to do church. So I thought it would be best is if we all just stayed home. I pray that all of you are watching. Matter of fact, what I want you to do right now, if you're watching, is I want you to share to everybody you know. I also want you to not be afraid to comment. Comment and just say hello. Let us know where you're from. You don't have to do a lot of comments, but I don't mind the amen. I think that's a good thing. But I just say welcome to Cowboy Church. Again, share. Do lots of sharing. And if you do, we're going to have a lot of people watching this, not just live, but we'll have a lot of people watching as the day goes on that might not be able to see it right now. And so I just say welcome to Cowboy Church. It's an honor to have every single one of you. We're going to do church just like we would do if we were at the actual building. We're having a few issues of power outages even around our place at church. So that's another reason that we're not just stopping Cowboy Church just to stop it so we can all stay in our pajamas. No, we're going to stay safe. This is a very unique time that this vortex of all the cold weather is just coming down. So a lot of ranchers are having to tend the cattle. Matter of fact, thank God for Corey, our drummer, that gave me a heater to heat on my calves. I've had to doctor several six steers and things like that. I'm having to watch baby calves that, you just need to watch. They told me it feels like it's, 6 degrees out there right now, wind chill. And so probably it's going to get a little bit worse, but listen to me. Our God reigns no matter what. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And you guys that are at home that are watching, however you're watching, I want you to act like you're at the service. I want you to sing with me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to say amen. I want you to comment. I want you to share all of these broadcasts. Amen. Father, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we're having to do church today a tad bit different, and next week we're going to be back to normal. Very seldom would we ever not have church in that building. But Father, we realize that we use wisdom. And wisdom when roads are icy that you can't do anything about. I mean, wisdom says just stay in, hunker down. This allows us to have church right here this one time. So Father, this is not the government trying to tell us not to have church. This is all of us using wisdom. But yet now we can bring church to all the people wherever they're at, in the safety of their own homes or wherever they're at right now. So Father, bless this service. God, thank you, Lord, for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage in everyone's life. I pray over families that are still dealing with that devil of a virus that is not from you, sir. And I just thank you, Lord, that people are healed by the stripes of Jesus. And all the things, the viruses that are going around, even the common cold or sinuses or whatever it is, I just say in Jesus' name, that those sicknesses and disease have no rights to the kingdom people, the people that are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we just give you praise that everything that we do here for an hour or so is going to be to glorify you. And you get all the praise, every bit of honor, sir, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right, let's do some singing. Till the answer comes, gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes, gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes. Well, you might be on your knees for hours. Oh, the light starts breaking through the dark. If you truly believe that His power can lead life into any troubled heart, well, till the answer comes, gotta keep praying. Oh, keep praying. Till the answer comes, gotta keep praying. Pray till the answer comes. Well, if you knock one time, there's no answer. Well, don't turn away from that door. You gotta knock again till you can let it in. Sometimes it only takes one storm. Sing this one together. Everybody knows it. Amazing Grace. Remember, if you can't sing good, sing loud. So right where you're at, y'all all sing this with me.
Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves someone like me. Once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel grace, my fears relieve. How precious is that grace here. The hour I first believed, when we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We know let's pray to sing God's praise, then when we first someone like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I can find. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the crowd went wild. I love this song. Actually, one of my favorites. It was one of Daryl's favorites that plays the guitar for us. Because it's called Give Me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me
Jesus, give me Jesus.
give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brandon. It's going to be cool because Brandon is going to come and give his testimony here in just a second. But before I do, I want to do just like normal. Obviously, most of y'all know that go to our church. Me and Jamie don't take a salary at our church. And what that has done is it's given me a unique ability to teach on finances. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach on giving just for a short period of time. And I think that it's a good thing that we can know that everything that we do, we do in God's kingdom. And His kingdom ways are really important because, His ways are the best ways. And when we understand how to stay hooked into God's economy, then that's why I constantly say at church that it'll cause someone to owe no man but to love them. And I love Luke's Gospel 6:33 because it says to give, and it'll be given unto you. And when you talk about giving in the kingdom of God, that's the way you and I operate in His kingdom. We're constantly giving. And I know we're serving, but there's something about giving finances to the kingdom, giving finances to someone in need. I mean, here we are needing to tend to our cattle and our livestock because of this cold weather. But there's a lot of people out there that may need us to tend to them and to give and to serve and things like that. So Luke's gospel says if you'll give, that it'd be given unto you. And I can tell you from past experiences in our life is because of our giving to people, it's caused a whole lot of people to then give to us in different ways. I'm not just talking financially. Thank God God provides for me and Jamie. But there's something about giving. So the word goes on to say if you'll give, that it, whatever you give will be given back to you with a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And it'll cause God to bless you. It'll give unto your bosom. And then it talks about the attitude that you give it in. See, because if you give it with the right attitude, then that's how God, He delights in that. He loves a cheerful giver. He's constantly talking about how we're to give with the right attitudes, the right hearts. And so today, I want y'all to always keep that in mind. And I know you can't come down to the front and give, but it's amazing that there's so many ways to give. A lot of you give online. You can actually go to, I believe it's wccowboychurch.org, and there's a give button. And it can tell you to give to the church, to the children's ministry, to different things like that. The rodeo arena. Most of y'all know now that we've got the kids' church completed. Thank God for that. That was a major deal to pay off and all the kids' church. That whole big building now that has now 8 rooms or so, maybe 7, with 4 bathrooms back there where those kids can go back there and bless our precious kids minister, Mary. Man, she goes back there and does a fantastic job. I also want to thank, just before we pray over people's giving today, I'm so thankful for all our ushers, all the people that keep good attitudes, that help all of the flock that come remain in high spirits in these times, because y'all that just greet people, y'all that keep a great attitude, you never get offended, you never get upset. I can't tell you as a pastor what that means to me and my wife. I can't tell you what it means to all of us as ministries and the leadership team that I believe, has one of the greatest churches going. We have literally tripled in size, y'all, because we didn't let a pandemic shut us down. I mean, they wanted churches to be totally shut down for long periods of time. I mean, forget about having to be on remote like this for one service because of 0 degrees and ice on roads. I'm talking a government that was trying to shut us down, and we did not do that, and we won't ever. We're going to continue to preach this gospel, and I believe this is a time like never before to get in unity, to stay hooked with the kingdom of God, to walk in love, not in fear. Don't you let fear come in any way in your life. No, you cause kingdom principles. You cause giving, tithes and offerings to keep you going, because really, anybody that has issues in their life, usually you can trace back to, are they a tither or are they not? And if they're a tither, then you've got promises. You've got the Bible that says that the curse will not even come near you. I mean, you're redeemed from it. I think those are good things. So everybody that gives, if you're going to give next week or if you're going to give online today, I want you to do that. I don't want you to, don't hold that seed, in other words. Get that seed in the ground wherever you give. Now, I realize there's a lot of people that don't go to our church, and maybe you're just watching because you can't be at your church. I want you to give at your church. But that y'all that are wanting to sow a seed and give it to this body or however God lays it on your heart to give, then I want you to give, and don't be ashamed of that. Amen. So let's pray over everybody's giving, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we take it serious, especially in these times when a lot of jobs have been taken away because of another administration that came in, a major pipeline, or just the oil industry, you know, that they're actually wanting to shut down. I say right now that, sir, we realize that oil and gas and all of that industry is not our provider. That you're our provider, sir. And if we keep that in mind, we keep that in our attitudes, then no matter what, you'll still provide. I ask you to protect, though, the oil and gas industry. I ask you to protect all the jobs that are trying to be lost because of a new administration. I ask you to protect the border of the United States of America. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that right now light is causing the darkness to be exposed. And Father, I just ask you to continue to do that. And no matter what, you reign. You're a wonderful big God. And Father, we're going to trust you in all areas, including giving. So all the people that give through the online services or however they give, even if it's next week, Father, thank you, Lord. God bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Brandon, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want Brandon. You know, Brandon has been living here, and what a unique story. If you knew everything, ooh, Jesus. It's amazing what God is doing in this life. And he's been traveling with me. And I just wanted for him to 5 or 10 minutes just to share a testimony of what God is doing in his life. So, Brandon, come on. I want to pray over you. Father, I ask you to just bless this man, give him courage, strength, honor him, and all that he does is he brings just a quick testimony, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to share some things that are on the hearts of a lot of people about the end times. And Father, I just thank you before that Brandon just is blessed and the people receive him and his testimony. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Corey. Well, how's everyone doing this morning? I just want to share with you guys just a quick testimony, my testimony, and my wonderful wife led me to the Lord 10 years ago. We've been married 10 years, and but before that, I really didn't know God. and God laid it on her heart 5 months before we got married. She asked me the question, are you saved? And did you say the salvational prayer? And I was like, well, I've been baptized. And so she shared with me the salvational prayer. And man, I want to tell you, it just opened a new way of thinking and opened up just new opportunities in my life, allowing God to come in and just really help me with what I went through as a child. There was a story of my childhood when I was three. My dad took me into the room, into this dark room, and turned off all the lights. He tied my hands behind my back, tied my feet to the chair, and I was sitting there, and he turned on this horror film. And like I said, I was three years old at the time. And he said, you know, you're the son of Satan. The devil's in here. You know, the demons are going to come and take you to hell and that kind of thing. And that particular moment in my life as a three-year-old, that set in a lot of fear of the dark. And that caused me to not really look to my dad as someone, as like a safety net. That caused me to really fear my dad. Another story was when I was five, and now my two sisters are born. He takes us down, and this is a sunny, sunny day in Indiana, takes us down to the river, ties all of us up at this point, and then ties my mom up, and he starts drowning her to the last inch of her life. And he's taking rocks, and he's, you know, stoning her, kind of like what the Bible talked about in the Old Testament on people getting stoned. And I saw that day. And what that did that day, not being in fear of the dark, that day caused me to really hate my dad. And it set in a hatred that when I was older and when I was a teenager, I told myself that if I ever saw my dad, I was going to do horrible things to him. And it wasn't really going to come out and end well for him. And what I want to share with you guys is there's a verse in the Bible that says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind." And this is the King James Version that Corey preaches out of, and it's the side-by-side. And the Amplified breaks it down even further. And so when you talk about that power, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And when I met my wife, you know, I was afraid of the dark. I feared the dark. And I would turn every light on. I would house sit for her grandparents in Bozeman, Montana, up in the mountains. And I would have every light on. I mean, it was probably glowing down in Bozeman. You know, you could land a plane with their house because every light was on. And so that power that God talks about in 2 Timothy, Corey shared it with me, that power, the Greek word is dunamis. Dunamis is the Greek word for that power. And when you get a hold of that dunamis power, man, I'm going to tell you, you can tell the enemy to flee. You can tell that spirit of fear to flee. And it was 2 years later, after we had gotten married, that I didn't fear the dark anymore, because I allowed Jesus into my life. I allowed him to start working in my life in a new way, in a new area. I started seeing things in a new light that really helped me overcome that. And then the spirit of a sound mind, well, this was 4 years after we had gotten married. My dad reached out to me. And Katie saw on our Facebook page that my dad reached out and said, "Hey, I just want to get in touch with Brandon, and I want to make things right." And at that time, I was still a young Christian, and I still had a lot of flesh hatred towards him. But later on, looking at it, I ended up forgiving my dad. And I'm going to tell you, the weight that was on my shoulders that I was carrying, it was like I was carrying a 2,000-pound mule on my back. And that weight just left when I forgave my dad, because I knew that it wasn't my dad that was doing that to me and causing me to fear. It was the devil. And I just always knew that,
you know, I could feel that presence of the Lord around me, and that really helped me out. And so I just want to share with you guys, you know, that power, that dunamis power. Especially in the time that we're in now, coming out of 2020, now going into 2021 with all these new things and everything, like Corey was sharing, you know, you want to get a hold of what God talks about. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank you guys for allowing me to share. Corey, thank you, and take the floor, buddy.
Amen.
All right.
Good job, brother.
Very proud of you. Very proud of you. And I can imagine there's a lot of people that hopefully are putting things in and just saying amen. I love that. Because you'll be surprised what a lot of people, they're going to, some of the same things have probably happened to them. And for you to be able to overcome it, come out of that, that's a pretty cool thing. I mean, that's a victory.
Yes.
And that's why you want to say thank you, Jesus, constantly. So, very proud of you. All right. Let's jump into the Word of God. This is the time when I'd normally say kids' church and youth group are dismissed, but you're not. My kids are down in the living room. You better be watching. I'll kick your booty. I want to start by explaining something that has caused a tad bit of confusion, and I want to explain it. It comes from the very first part, obviously, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we're going to jump into talking about the thousand-year reign of what's going to happen, you know, just to catch a few people up real fast. We've been talking about the end times. We've been talking about some things that will happen before the end times. Y'all are seeing it right now. You're seeing crazy, crazy things. You're seeing a virus that shut down our country. Amazing, our economy. Tried to shut down churches, and sadly, there were churches that are still shut down. There's still some governments in different states that are trying to control the body of Christ as far as where you meet. And man, we just come against that in Jesus' name. But a lot of it is about the end times. And we talked about how the Bible says in the last days, even believers, people that say they're born again, will fall away from the faith. A very sad thing. It's not going to be any of you or any of us. We're not going to fall away from any of the faith. Okay, but listen to me real fast. It goes on, you know, some of the signs of the times to then go on to when Jesus comes back to get us. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and right at the end, let's just start in verse 16 if you have a Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." We're going to talk about that. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be called up," or caught up, "together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with the Lord forever." Okay, there's been a little bit of confusion about why would the dead in Christ rise first. Because the Word says, tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, so then why would the dead have to rise first? Aren't people that have given their lives to Jesus that have died, aren't they already with the Lord? And if they're with the Lord, then why would they be rising first? And there's a couple of things that have come up in just that. Because, first of all, when it's talking about the dead in Christ, you have to understand, you and I right now that are living have a corruptible body. It can get sick. It can get angry. I mean, a lot of things can happen in this body because, obviously, of the sin nature. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? And because we are around that nature, then the flesh has the temptation to get sick and the things that we just said. When you're called up to meet Jesus in the air, if you have died and your body is still here, because remember, your spirit, your soulless realm is what goes to heaven. Your spirit, remember the spirit, soul, and body? The spirit is what gets born again. And that's what goes to heaven when you leave this earth. Okay, so the body stays here. Remember, it's corruptible. But God then, when He says the dead in Christ is going to rise, the body then, God gives us an uncorruptible body. Matter of fact, He gives you a new body. A body that can't get sick. A body that can't live in that sinful way. We get a new body. So that's why it says the dead in Christ rise first, is because that's when God gives the dead that have been born again and then died before Jesus came back to get us, as well as all of us that are remaining, we all get a glorified body that can't get sick. Thank God for that. Okay, then people then have the question of, well, what about if someone was cremated when they died and they don't have a body? Well, listen to me. God is going to just form that body just like He formed it from the beginning when He breathed life into you. He's going to form a new body, because it's kind of like someone that was burned in a house or died in a plane crash and you can't find their bodies anymore. No, don't worry about things like that, because again, God will just give you a brand new body that is not corruptible. It's going to be uncorruptible. And that's why when we meet Jesus in the air, the dead in Christ, man, that's why they're going to rise. The bodies of the uncorruptible are going to meet Jesus in the air. And then again, all of us that are here, we're going to get an uncorruptible body too that can't get sick. So anyway, I pray that kind of helps you understand that even if someone was cremated, even if someone died in a fire or somewhere in the ocean where they couldn't ever find a body, if they were born again and Jesus was the Lord of their life, they're going to get a new body, an uncorruptible body. Thank God for that. Okay? So then that leads right into what we're going to talk about today, living in a thousand-year reign place. And so let's just talk about it. Let's just jump right into that. You find this in Revelation chapter 20. So if y'all don't mind, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm just going to read just a little bit. I'll be explaining this next week at church. So y'all that don't live around us, that watch us every week. And we have people that watch from all over the country this broadcast. So it's a wonderful tool. But even if you're watching or if you're at church next week, we're going to talk about kind of what's going to happen before the thousand-year reign. It's amazing that a lot of people don't even know that there was such a thing as the thousand-year reign. What is that? Revelations talks about it. I'm not going to read the very first part of chapter 20, but look at verse 6 of chapter 20 of Revelations. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God. That's talking about born again people. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, just real briefly, we're going to talk about the 1,000-year reign and why would we live for 1,000 years? You're going to learn, too, in the next few weeks that during the 1,000-year reign, there's not going to be any sin. If you read the very first part of 20, you'll find out. And don't do that. I saw some of my family go down, but like they're going to start reading it. No, don't do that yet, because we'll start getting into the 1,000-year reign of the befores. And why is there no sin? Well, we know that Satan's going to get bound. And he's going to get thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And it's going to be a great thing, because then we're all after the 7-year tribulation. That's, by the way, when Jesus comes back to get us, we're going to get out of this place, all the chaotic things, and we're going to live in heaven for 7 years while there's going to be a major tribulation time. An antichrist is going to arise. Matter of fact, some say he's already arose. I mean, I don't know, because none of us know when Jesus is coming back. But one thing we know is that we're going to know the signs of the times. And personally, I believe that we're in the end of the end times. I mean, we're seeing some things that are taking place right now that are just absolutely wild and crazy. Things that you would have never thought would have been a part of the United States of America. A president of the United States that really has a hard time communicating with us. And I mean, they banned him from lots of things. I never dreamed that would happen in the United States. Not especially with the First Amendment, where, you know, we have rights. But really, those kind of things still shouldn't get us all upset. We need to stand. We need to be in prayer. We need to, you know, pray for the new administration. I'm not against any of that, but I still believe that you and I need to stand in these days and not allow the world to control you and I as believers in Jesus. No, we need to stand. Remember, the Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. And what you and I are standing on is the Word of God. No matter what, no matter what goes on around us, we still live by the Word of God. And that's the protection. I think that's why all of us live and have been preaching on Psalms 91 for so long. You remember, he that dwells in that secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, we have protection over us through this Bible, through the Word of God. And we need to continue to live that way. So there'll be a 7-year tribulation. And then after that is when we're going to live for 1,000-year reign without sin back here on the earth. Amen. Revelations was written by the Apostle John when he was imprisoned on this island called Patmos. You study out this island, and it's a rock island, man. Not very much vegetation. And I believe that they have figured out that the Apostle John lived in some caves. And praise God that, you know, he was able then to write still in a very desolate place. It was terrible where they had him, but he still was able to write the book of Revelations. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you tired of being angry? Are you tired of the division, of the conflict, of all these things that are going on in this world? Because if you are, there's some great news for you and I. Number one, we have Jesus. But we also have to understand that God is such a sovereign, just God. And He wants the best for us. And everything that we find in the Bible, He wants to do for us. So a lot of people have the question, why would we not just live in heaven where Jesus prepared the mansion for us, according to John 14? Why wouldn't we just stay there? Why would we come down here for 1,000-year reign? Well, I want to explain that right now. Because again, what is the reasons or the reason for the 1,000-year reign? And here it is. When you study the Word of God, the 1,000-year reign is to allow for the fulfillment of several promises that God made with Israel, that God made with Jesus, that God made with the Gentiles, and that God made with creation. And real fast, just today, I'm going to talk about these reasons that God is going to have us live in a thousand-year reign here on the earth. Okay, again, the first one is that He has to fulfill all these promises that He made. I mean, again, He's a just God. If He said it, it's going to happen, right? So things have to come to pass. The very first one is that there was a promise to Israel. And what was that? That, number one, that Israel as a nation would turn back to God and worship their Messiah. You see, the promise that Jesus had with Israel is David's heir. The promise that Jesus, which is the heir, David's heir, will take his physical birthright and sit on the throne of Israel. See, that's a promise that God made to Israel. Here's another promise. The promise of outlining Israel's borders that Israel will have for eternity. So a lot of these promises that we see here in the Bible have to be fulfilled. And they're going to be fulfilled in this thousand-year reign because He's got to get Satan out of the way. Because Satan is coming against all of this. That's why a little tiny, tiny country called Israel, they are surrounded by the enemy, but yet they still survive. I mean, you come against Israel, very bad, very bad for you. That's why I pray to God in the United States that we always bless Israel. Remember, the Word says if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. So that's why it's so important that we bless Israel. That's God's chosen people, by the way, right? The devil is constantly wanting to come against Israel. But God made a promise to them. So during the thousand-year reign, when Satan is in that bottomless pit, all these promises are going to come to pass for Israel. Here's the second promise, and another reason that we're going to live in the thousand-year reign without sin, excuse me, is there was a promise to Jesus. You find it in Psalms 110, verse 1. It says this, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." In other words, God made a promise to His Son Jesus that His enemies were going to be His footstool. He made a promise that Jesus will rule over, that He'll judge, and that He'll shatter all of His enemies while His people worship Him freely. So the reason that we're going to live in a thousand-year reign without the devil and his influence is so that all these promises, so that the enemy will be the footstool, so that Jesus can rule over those people. You know, right now, the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the air. And he has authority here on this earth. Now, not over us, because we've been given the name that's above every name, Jesus. So we don't rule under this, but the people that allow him to, he rules and reigns, and he can tempt, and he can do bad things. Now, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so it's not a devil coming personally against you. But he's going to influence somebody. I mean, he'll influence a person here to steal, kill, and destroy. But during the thousand-year reign, Jesus is going to be able to rule over all of his enemies. He's going to be able to shatter them. I mean, they're not, and he's going to be doing that while all of us get to worship him freely without sin, without the temptations of the enemy. to not worship Him. Oh man, that's a promise that we got to get a hold of, y'all. Okay, here's the third one. I've only got four and then we'll close. The third reason that we're going to be living in a thousand-year reign without sin is because God made a promise to the Gentiles. You find this in Daniel chapter 7. Let's all turn over to Daniel and let's just read what Daniel says. And I can't, like at our church, I usually say, let me know when you get there and say amen, but I'm going to take just a second. Find Daniel, and if you find it, then say amen in here. Daniel, it's going to be Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And let's read verse 11, Daniel 7, verse 11. Here's what it says. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of the heaven, and came in the ancient of days, and they brought him near before him. Keep reading to this next one, verse 14. And there was given him dominion, always remember that, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. We're talking about Jesus. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So here's the promise that God gave to his Gentiles, and his Gentiles are his faithful followers that will be given positions of authority. You see this in Luke 19. You see it in Revelation 5, verse 10. You see this in 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. All of us have to understand that we're going to be given positions of authority in this thousand-year reign. You want to be one of those people. And so, you read some of these things. Go to Luke 19 and just begin to read about the dominion you and I, we can have it now, by the way, because we're supposed to live here like heaven, right? Well, go to Revelation 5 in verse 10 and just read some of these things that we've been talking about. Let me read verse 10 to you in Revelation 5. Check this out. It says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth. You see, that's a promise. And he, a lot of time, he's got to get the devil out of the way so that you and I can literally reign. That's why it's called a thousand-year reign. It's because you and I, and sadly, let me just throw this in, sadly, you remember that the scriptures that say, you know, the road to destruction is wide. I mean, it's crazy how a lot of people are not going to be with us as believers in the thousand-year reign, and the road to the Lord is narrow and not really used. Sadly, there's going to be a lot of us believers. That's why I'm out there constantly trying to get people saved. I'm trying to build the kingdom as big as possible. Because on the other side, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be with us in this thousand-year reign. And sadly, that's why God's going to have to remove them as well as the devil, so that you and I that stuck it out, and let's just say it the way it is, we stuck it out. I mean, we stood our ground. We kept our eyes focused on Jesus. We didn't fall away from the faith. Listen to me. I'm not talking about you made mistakes. I'm talking about you didn't fall away from the faith. You stayed hooked. You may have made mistakes, but by golly, you know who you are in Christ. You know that when you repent and ask God to forgive you, that God doesn't only forgive you, He forgets about that sin. You see, that's the most important thing that you and I as believers have to realize, is that we're not trying to make a mistake. We're not trying to sin. But I thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. But one thing I will not do is turn away from my God. I always tell these college kids and professional rodeo athletes and the pros that when you sin, don't you dare turn away from God. You turn to Him because you need Him more than anything. Don't you dare let the devil take your faith away. Now, you can't take your salvation, but a lot of times we can turn away from the Lord. And don't do that. Don't turn away from God. You turn to Him. This is not a time to be messing around with sin. This is the time that we need to live right. Let's just say it for what it is. That's why God is using the cowboy world in these last days, because it's time to start saying what it is. And it's time to start living for God. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be a preacher. I'm not saying you have to become a missionary and travel and eat beetles in Africa. No, I'm talking about just understanding that it's time we serve God right where you're at, right where your influence is. And that's a promise to the Gentiles that you're going to reign, and that God's going to give us positions of authority. And I want that. I want God to use me in a mighty way. I don't care how long someone's been saved, if it's been 100 years or you just got born again yesterday. God can still use you and give you positions of authority in His kingdom during those 1,000 years. And you want that. Amen. Come on, y'all. We've got to get fired up for the kingdom of God, for who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me give you the fourth promise and another reason that we're going to live through the 1,000-year reign. Because again, people would say, why won't we just stay in heaven? But because again, God made promises that have to be fulfilled. He just doesn't say something and then them not come to pass. And here's the fourth reason that God gave us in a promise. And it was the promise to creation. And here's what it is. He promised creation that the curse would be lifted. You know, Jesus redeemed all of us from the curse of the law. But how many of you know we can still live around and in the curse? In other words, if you let yourself, even as a believer in Jesus, I mean, you can live right in the bad things of this world. I mean, you can be tempted to jump right into anger, fear, unbelief, doubt, and all those things that really are the opposite of how we're supposed to live by faith. So the curse is going to be lifted. That's a promise. And it can't be lifted until the devil's out of the way, because he's the one that brought the curse, right? The second thing is it's going to be amazing that here's a promise to creation that animals will live in peace again. This is why I'm telling you, and you study this out, y'all. It's amazing that lions are going to be bedded with the lambs, and the lions are not going to eat the lamb. It's going to be amazing the new nature that we have, where animals will live in peace again. Because right now, they don't. I mean, you watch those shows on the History Channel or whatever, and you'll see how those deer or whatever get attacked by the lion. I mean, just the different fierce battles between different animals. And you're not going to see that. Animals are going to live in peace again. Here's the next thing. The fields won't have weeds. I mean, every farmer, they should be like Episcopalians and shouting. I don't know if Episcopalians shout, but anyway, if I was a farmer, I'd be shouting right now. There's not going to be weeds in the fields because a weed came because of the curse. Man, I know the crops are just going to grow. Glory be to God. And here's the last thing. Here's a promise to creation that there's not going to be disease. You see, that's the reason that we're living in the thousand-year reign. Or we're going to. Is all these things have to happen. And the only way for them to happen is the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, has to be removed. Now, next week, we're going to talk about, the devil being captured. And I don't know if this might be the last part of this that we'll talk about, and then we'll get back to how Christians are supposed to be living in these last days. But we're going to talk about Satan. He's going to get captured. And we're going to be a big part of it. But I cannot wait to live without sin. Okay. As most of y'all know, we're done with all that. Most of y'all know I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. I didn't even bring a watch, so I don't even know what time it is. 11:33. So I'm just barely over an hour. Okay, here's something that we need to always have a heart to do, is to see people give their lives to Jesus. That has to be our mission. Is that we have a heart to see people give their lives to the Lord. Let's say, for example, you have family members that aren't born again. I mean, I know there's family members that just flat don't get along. You know what I say? I say there should be peace. I mean, we've got to cause families to get back together. And it doesn't matter who is wrong. We've got to get families back together so that we can all live by the true blessing of God. Because a lot of times, and I'm not saying that if you're hateful and mean, that we want to be around you. What I want you to do is change. I want you to change. It doesn't matter who's wrong in a family. Moms and daughters and dads and sons should get along. And sometimes it takes the bigger person to say, you know what, I don't care who is wrong, I want that relationship back. Because if you're born again, you're not supposed to be separated. You're supposed to be in harmony. Again, that's why we're talking about the thousand-year reign. It's because we're not going to have that devil trying to keep us offended and upset at each other. But our hearts have to be for reconciliation. Our hearts have to be for salvation. So that's what I want to give you an opportunity to do right now. Maybe you're watching and you've never given your life to Jesus. Usually everybody that watches a broadcast like this is born again. But you'll be surprised, some that aren't. If you're not born again, if you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to hell. I want you to make heaven your home when you leave this earth. I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ, because He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father. This is John chapter 14. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is through Jesus. So is He your Lord? Have you ever confessed Him as the Lord of your life? Have you ever said, Jesus, come into my life and save me? If you haven't, I want you to do it right now. And believers, I want y'all to do the very same thing we do every single Sunday. When I pray a prayer and ask others to pray this prayer after me, I want you to pray this prayer even where you're at right now, because you have to learn this prayer. Because I can't lead them all to Jesus, but you can. You can lead the ones you're around to Jesus. If they don't want to watch me or watch or go to a church, you can lead them to Jesus by praying this prayer and learning it. And I've had testimonies about people that prayed this prayer enough where they learned it, and then they led a family member or a friend to the Lord Jesus. And they said the exact same prayer. That's what I've always taught Brandon and any of our other ministers. You'll notice that most of them pray the same prayer that I pray. They start out, I open the door of my heart. You know why I pray that? It's because Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, that's how he did it. And he was a soul-winning preacher, man. So, why change it? I just say the same thing. Okay, so if you're out there and you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer right where you're at. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud. I want your ears hearing it. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. So, if you're watching and you've never given Jesus your life, you've never said, come into my life, Jesus, and save me. You don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to hell. Right now, I want you to pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. Amen? Let's pray it all just like this. Out of your mouth. And believers, again, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
I open the door of my heart.
I open the door of my
and
heart.
And I confess that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus, come into my life.
Jesus, come into my
and
life.
And save me.
And save
Forgive me.
Me
of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That my name,
is
written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Because of you.
Because of you.
And I give my life
totally
to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Now keep your heads bowed just for a second. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand, put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three. I see all those hands. All my family got saved, guys. Well, anyway, they raised your hand just for fun. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this service. I want you to, again, share this service. Let as many people watch it as possible. Thanks for being a part of it. Now you can go and have lunch early. I love y'all very much. Thank y'all so much that support this church. That just, man, you just support whatever we do. God, thank you. I ask the Lord to bless y'all so much. Thank you so much. Let's close with a prayer and then this broadcast is over. And I hope to see you. I don't know if we're going to have Bible study on Tuesday. If the weather's bad, we won't. But I hope. If the weather's just cold, then we're going to do it. If there's ice on the ground, then obviously we want people safe. But hopefully we'll have Bible study on Tuesday night. We start at 6:30 with just a little fellowship time, and then 7:00 there'll be someone that teaches every single week, and it's great teaching. If you live around the Liberty Hill, Burnett, any areas around here, Georgetown, Leander, they come from everywhere to go to our church. Be a part of Tuesday. If not, I'll see you next Sunday. And if you don't have a church, just watch us live right here, wccowboychurch.org. God bless you. We love you. Father, thank you, Lord, for a great service, for just getting to receive the Word of God, and we just are so honored. If anyone got saved, sir, I just thank you, Lord, that they would let us know right here, even a private message, and that wherever they live, they would find a good Bible-believing church to plug into. Until we see each other next week, we just thank you, Lord, that you don't stay here, you don't stay in their houses, you get to go with them wherever they go. Even if it's to go crush ice in the water troughs or check on the animals, or just to say hunker down, you get to stay with us because you never leave us. You never forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.